May that peace and also the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ comes from having his word growing in us and through us. May it fill our hearts as we grow together, and especially today, grow in the word. If you open up your bulletin and look at the title of our message today, it says, Grow in the Word as a Family. And I put a definition of a word in there. So without peeking, don't peek. Can anybody give me the definition of the word heterogeneous? Hetero means what? Different, right? Different kinds. And yeah, genus is like where we get the order, you know, the animals from. So it's different kinds. So I want you right now, just take a look around the sanctuary. I want you to see all the different kinds of families that are represented here today, okay? So take a look, and while you're doing that, I'm just going to ask. So if you are a single, just you in your household, raise your hand. Singles? Okay. All right. So you're going to be the green clover thing there. Okay. Who is here is a couple, just a couple, no kids? Okay, David and Renita, hold on to that. All right. Who is a couple that has less than 2.1 children? Okay, right here. All right. And who's a family that has four or more children? All right. Bill and Donna, I'll give that. Pass that back to Bill and Donna. Okay, so right, you see right there we have different kinds of families. Plus we have blended families. Raise your hand if you're a blended family. We're a blended family. Okay, so we have those kinds of families too. And so we're going to talk about family and that we are heterogeneous. There's all different kinds, but also I gave you all one of those little pieces. They go in this. Okay, so your job is to see if you can find your place. Can you find your place where you go in there, Gladys? Oh, very good. She found her green home spot there. All right, Bill, what color you guys got? You're blue? Okay. I'll help you out by giving you the color, okay? I was really glad when we did this at 9:30 and our member who's a surgeon was able to get, I thought it was like operation. I said, that's good, because if you couldn't get that in there, I was going to be a little worried. What color did you guys have? Red, okay. All right, found your spot. Who else? Where's my last one? Yellow, okay. Not that you're a square or anything. No, don't put the square in the round hole. Here, let me make some room in there. All right. Get out of the way. Oh, man, that's good reflexes. Hey, I'm impressed. Okay, very good. Very good. So they were all different sizes, shapes, colors, but they are all in one container. So even though they were heterogeneous, we could also say they're homogeneous, they are alike because they all go in this one container. And we can say that today too. We are different in our families, but we're also alike in the big family. And that's really actually my favorite term for us, for our church here, is to say the family of God here at Messiah Lutheran Church. So look around again at your brothers and sisters in Christ. See? Because you don't represent many families, we really together represent one family, God's family. And so we're going to talk about growing in the Word of God as a family. And I know, because I lived 3/5 of my life as a single, that many times when we talk about family in the church as a single, you might feel like, go ahead, can you put the next slide up, Larry, for me? Hello, my name is Single. Like, that's all you are. And by the way, I got to tell you, I love how God works. Because as a staff, we've been getting ready for the last couple Sundays, and especially next Sunday, Fresh Start Sunday, for really over a year. We kind of picked that theme and the date and everything. Well, this month in the Lutheran Witness, the theme this month was, what does it mean to be the church? And it talks about really all different kinds of families or different heterogeneous parts of the family of God, the church. And one of the articles was this one that you see represented there about singles. So I want to start with you who are singles. And some of you are single because maybe you've been married and you're widowed, or you're divorced, or maybe you've never been married. So I want to share with this because this is an article written by Adrienne Hines, and she's actually written a book called Hello, My Name is Single, and it says, the subtitle is, Learning to Disregard the World's Expectations and Trust God. You see, like, and here's what she says, even in the church this happens sometimes. So she was talking about when she moved to a new place, had a new job, and she was trying to find a new church home, and she walks in and she says, as a single, sitting there by herself, here's how she felt. This Sunday, sitting alone in a new space, I felt an odd affinity with the lepers who cried out to Jesus in the Bible, untouched, unloved. I couldn't shake the sense that the woman down the pew was giving me the stink eye. And I was confident that the usher at the back of the church, not you, Brad, okay, the usher at the back of the church was giving a sideways glance to me as well. And here's what she says. It doesn't matter if we've been married or widowed, never had a boyfriend, or divorced, or simply looking for a relationship. In the church and in the world, we feel different from everybody else. We feel isolated, unlovable. And then she goes on, and she gives actually these four things that I put in the sermon notes here. And I changed them a little bit from the way she worded them. But the first one she said was, cultivate an active prayer life. And by the way, even though I'm going to share these with those of you who are single, these are all good for everybody. It doesn't matter what your family status is, but I think they're especially important as a single. And part of the encouragement, though, in developing this active prayer life was to be praying, be prayerful, and be full of prayers for your fellow singles. And I know one group that we have here at church, one of our small groups, is all widows. And they definitely are full of prayer for each other because they've had a shared experience of losing their spouse. But whether that's your situation or not, I really want to encourage you, if you are single, to find a prayer partner, someone for whom you can be praying and also someone that you know who will be praying for you. And it's good, I would encourage you to do this: male, find a male prayer partner; females, find a female prayer partner. That's less complicated that way. We just talked about real love waits, and I don't want to go into all that. That was our workshop yesterday. I'll come back to that in a minute, though. So be in prayer, and again, we all need to be prayerful in our life, but I really encourage you, be praying for one another, for your fellow singles. The second thing she said is to be joyful, and it was a special kind of joy, though, to be filled with a joy of expectation for whatever God has planned for you, whether that is someday you may get married, maybe you won't. But whatever God has, whatever the plan is, as she said, learning to let go of the world's expectations and trust God. So with some joyful expectation for what God has in store and planned for you, whatever that might be. The third one, and I did say, I mentioned yesterday, we had 18 members at adults and youth at Real Love Waits, which was gathering up at Holy Trinity in Edmond, and talking about our human sexuality and this gift. And so this third really important thing for singles is to pray to be faithful with especially that area of your life, the gift of our sexuality. You know, and at Real Love Waits, the idea of waiting is you're waiting until the day you are married for using that gift of sex. And we've been talking about that, just finished the Taboo series and said, you know, God says, as we heard in our reading today, it's up on our banner, that God's gift for sexuality is to be expressed between a man and a woman who've been joined together as husband and wife. That's God's plan. So you want to and need to be praying to be faithful to that gift in your life. But one of the things, too, I've always really appreciated about Real Love Waits is it also reminds our youth that they are not just being faithful to God, definitely they're doing that, but when you make a pledge of fidelity and faithfulness, you know, and to not have sex until you're married, you are actually making a pledge to be faithful to your future spouse as well, if that is part of God's plan for you. So faithful to your future spouse, faithful to God's plan, especially for this area of your life. And then the fourth one, fulfilled. And I got to read the way she said this. It said, consider what's coming. Here's where our vocation, and she sees that as single being, you know, part of your call to be single for now or maybe for your whole life. Here's where our vocation as single gives us a leg up on everyone else. One of the greatest joys is one we can't even really begin to comprehend quite yet. Everyone will be single in heaven. Did you know that? Yeah. It says, Jesus says in Matthew 22, verse 30, in heaven, we will neither be married nor given in marriage. And if you think about what, why did God give marriage? It doesn't mean we won't know our spouses in heaven. I think we will. And I don't know if there's going to be some kind of special relationship there. The Bible doesn't specifically say that, but it says we won't be married, won't be husbands and wives. God gave marriage to us here on the earth for the sake of companionship, you know, so Adam could have a helper. But in heaven, who do we have as our helper? God. And, of course, the other reason God gave marriage and told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply to procreate, to populate the earth. Well, we don't need that in heaven either. People who are in heaven are going to be in heaven because they have believed and put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. So, you're actually, singles are ahead of the game for heaven. That's kind of an interesting way to look at that. So if that's your calling now, be prayerful, joyful, faithful, but also fulfilled. Because the article has this subtitle, and this is about being fulfilled for singles and everybody. Your value and worth comes from Christ, not from a relationship status on Facebook. You're not worth more or worth less because you're married or single or dating or not. You are who you are because of whose you are. You belong to Him. We're His bride. He's the bridegroom. That's what gives us fulfillment. Now, the next picture. I love this picture. So when I got the Lutheran Witness, I was flipping through it, and I saw this picture. It's in here. And I loved it so much, I found out who the photographer was, and I emailed him. I said, can I have permission to use your photographs from this issue? And he gave me permission. And so this is for grandmas and grandpas. How many grandparents or great-grandparents do we have out here? Okay, keep your hands up. Everybody look around. See how many we have? Wow. That's awesome. Okay, so grandparents, great-grandparents, I know we even have some great-great-grandparents out here. You are gifted grandparents. And this article in here talked about two special blessings, this two-way relationship between you as some of more seasoned in life and the gift that you are to give, and I would say first and foremost, to your biological grandchildren or great-grandchildren. And it is this gift that you see in the picture. So you see the baby sitting there? This is and off to the left, in the left corner there, is this older gentleman, and he's singing a hymn. But look at that baby. Where's that baby looking? I mean, that baby's eyes are glued on that guy. And I don't even know if he's grandpa or not, but I liked it because he's obviously a little bit older. They have the same hairstyle, by the way. Maybe that's why he's checking him out there. I can relate. But you see, the baby is watching that older adult put his faith into action. That's the gift. That's the gift. Wow. Now, some of you might say, well, I'm not a grandparent. Well, let me tell you. You are what I would call all adults that are Christians. I call you grafted grandparents because you've been grafted into some families. You've been grafted into the lives of some young ones. So they can do this too. Even though maybe you're not their biological grandparent, you are an influence upon them when they see your faith in action. And they also, you are gifted in the terms of how children gift you. And the way I really think about that is we get this sense of wonder from kids. And even like today, you know, and watching the kids come up here for the children's message. Sometimes they literally tear down the... I bet you guys said, don't run in church, and then pastor said, hurry up and get up here, right? But it's so fun to see them come up here and watching them listen to Amber tell the story here. So this is one of the gifts that the younger believers give to us older believers is kind of this renewed sense of wonder and awe at the Word of God and what it is, you know, and faith and worship. And so we just had our first week of school. We started on Wednesday, had chapel here, and it's great to see all those young faces out here and just so eager to to hear the Bible stories and to sing the songs of praise and worship. So that's their gift to you, but your gift to them is that they can see your faith in action. And as we talk about growing in the Word, one of the best things they can see you is not just here in worship, but also see you opening the Word. And, of course, a great thing for grandparents is reading to the grandkids. And what better thing to read to them than stories, parables if they are, but stories from God's Word. So we're growing in the Word together as singles, satisfied singles, gifted grandparents. And then there was an article in here about moms. So moms, raise your hands if you're a mom. Okay, got a lot of moms in here too. I am not a mom, but I can relate, okay? So this was this is the title of the article, and I call you moms missionary mothers. And you'll see why in a minute from the quote from one of the moms here. But the title of this article says loving care, because part of your calling is to care. You know, that's one of the when God said he made them male and female, one of the things he did is he made women good nurturers. And so that's part of your blessing and calling. And listen to this one mom here. Her name was Stephanie. She says, the church reminds me that mother is my vocation. I'm a stay-at-home mom, and society and even sometimes family make me feel like that's not enough. The church reminds me that what I'm doing is godly and is my calling. Yeah, calling to be a mom. Now, this other mom in here, she says, you know what that does then? It takes the mundane, and some things of motherhood are pretty mundane. Listen to this mom, and makes them meaningful. Her name is Kristen. She says, I'm reminded that the mundane details of life, feeding people multiple times a day, wiping off cloth diapers, snuggling, are what I'm called to do. I may not be a missionary to a far-off land, but I am to love my nearest neighbor. And guess who that is? Those closest to you. Start there with the family. And so this mom really saw how her calling, and again, how that elevates even the most mundane of everyday things and really gives them meaning because it's a part of the calling. Again, that they can see faith at work in the moms. And by the way, our speaker yesterday at Real Love Waits, Pastor Fisk, in his opening sessions, one of the things he said is, you know, parents, one of the best things you can do for your children is to love each other, husband and wife. And so that's our memory verse for this week. It talks about, you know, that a husband's love for his wife needs to be a reflection of the love that Christ has for his bride. And of course, one of the most awesome things as a couple you can do in loving each other is also let your children see that you love God and you love the Word of God too. But I'm not going to stop with moms, because show the next slide, please, Larry. This picture that you see there, I gave the title Designed Dads. And look at the quote underneath here. It says, by God's design, it is the father's responsibility to ensure his children are raised in the faith. God's word says this. So dads, your work is crucially important. And this is not to belittle or say that mom's work is not important either, but this is part of the design of God to set the man to be the head of the household, to be the spiritual leader. Luther realized that too. While I'm reading this verse, I want you in your hymnal to open up to page 321. It's the catechism. It's in the hymnal. So turn to that page, and I'm going to read Ephesians 6, 1-4, while you're turning in the hymnal to page 321. So Paul's writing here in the Word of God, and he says, children, obey your parents, because that's, you know, the first commandment with the promise. And then verse 4, he says to dads, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So in your hymnal there on page 321, Luther wrote the catechism quite literally for families, but specifically for dads. Do you see what it says underneath the Ten Commandments? Hold on a second, and I'll get there. Let's read it together. It's in all caps. As the head of the family should teach them in a simple way to his household. Now, flip over a couple pages. Page 322, you see the creed. as the head of the family, should teach it in a simple way to his household. Then you go over to baptism on page 325. The sacrament of holy baptism, as the head of the family, should teach it in a simple way to his household. And then, same thing for communion on page 326. And prayer on page 327. Daily prayers. How the head of the family should teach his household to pray morning and evening. So, this is God's design. This is God's plan. Now, I know there's households where the dad's not there for whatever reason. And it's sad, though, when a dad chooses to relinquish this very important responsibility. And it makes a big difference. So to show that to you, I'm going to share. There's a statistic that was in this article, but I want to just visualize it for you. So up here on the altar, I have 50 quarters. And in this article, here's what it said. Put simply, if a father does not make teaching his children or taking his children to church a priority, this is how many are going to, when they grow up, be actively connected to a church. So I want you, in your mind, just get a number. How many out of 50, if the dad basically says, church is not important to me, maybe he goes occasionally, but it's really not a part of his life, it's not a regular part. So how many of the 50, so each of these 50, these are not quarters, these represent kids, children. Souls, okay? So how many do you think, if the dad is really not connected much at all, are going to really be connected and faithful when they grow up? So you just keep that in there, and I'll start dropping them in here. So that's my first stack of 10. Here's my second stack of 10. Oh, got to keep going. That's my third stack of 10. Fourth stack, I'm just going to throw that in there because I'm down to my last stack of 10 now. One. This is what it says. Put simply, if the father does not make taking his children to church a priority, only one child in 50 will regularly attend church as an adult, despite the mother's best efforts. So dads, our work is really, really, really important. And so that's part of why, as a church, we make having opportunity to be in the Word together, even as a family. You know, and the work that Myron's doing with family ministry is really to highlight the role that moms and dads and grandparents that we all have together. But boy, this just really hits home for us as dads about God's design for us to be the spiritual leader in our homes. So, dads, it is your responsibility. And, you know, Amber's sitting right here. We've asked her to be our youth director and everything, and she does a great job. Right, everybody? But one of the things this article says is, you know what makes an awesome youth program? It's not more programs. It's actually the greatest thing, the greatest impact can be fathers being fathers as God designed them to be, really leading and showing faith in action. So, like I said, next Sunday we're going to look at Deuteronomy and that beautiful verse about teaching our children by not just speaking it, but by letting them see it as we walk and live and teach, and it's just an everyday part of our life, how crucial that is. And so, but I know we have families whose the dads aren't around, so this can be a great place to help in that case. And we have ministries to help do that too. And one of the great ones is team. So I'm going to ask Angie to come up and talk a little bit about how our team, our Wednesday after school ministry, is really an opportunity to grow in the Word together. So come on up, Angie.
Pastor, you stole everything I was going to say.
Oh.
when I joined Messiah, I had this wonderful opportunity to have. I have two boys. They're now 15 and 12. And I was asked to come and be a part of Team. I think that was the year that you actually changed the name to Team. And my youngest son wasn't able to go, but they were desperately needing teachers. He wasn't old enough, but so I was able to bring my youngest son, and he just came along and was in the class. But I had the kids who were just confirmed. That was my first class to actually teach teen. And so over the years, I've watched them grow. And so that's one of those wonderful things that I feel benefited me, is to see the youth of our church to grow up. And I'm sure as many of you have those stories yourselves. But for my family, it was very important because I am a single mom. And so I say sometimes I'm dad, but I'm not really good at that. So team was an opportunity for my kids to be involved with families, to see other families, to, sorry, I wasn't going to cry. anyway, okay, I'm calm. It was an opportunity for my boys to see great fathers being involved. And one of the people that I have come to really care about is Tim. I wasn't going to, he has been a real blessing for my son Avery, who now goes by George. And he's really shown him what being a godly man is like. And so that is just, any of you who have an opportunity to be involved, whether you're now a grandparent or your kids have grown, it's just a wonderful place to build relationships. And for me, it's also, I have a connection of people who I can see every Wednesday to talk about parenting issues. We have a Bible study when the kids are in their classes that we meet, and led by Myron. And it's just, I can't express how important team has been to my family. And thank you.
Don't get me started. You know, and I have to tell you, at 9:30, Donna Wells' dad, Richard Sabota, he's sitting right over here. And so I went up to Richard and I said, "Richard, how many kids do you have at team?" And he goes, he didn't really know what I was doing. I goes, "I don't have any kids there. What are you talking about?" He's an armor. And I said, "And what do you do at team?" He comes every Wednesday and washes. He goes, "I'm the chief bottle washer." And so he washes dishes with Joe McFall, whose kids are grown and gone through, and he's a regular there too. So I bring that up to say, you know, grandparents, moms, dads, team is just one of those opportunities we have, but it's a really great one that we put a lot of energy and emphasis in because the impact it has. And then, too, Myron's added some really great classes for the adults while the kids are in class, too. It's like you said, some parenting or other Bible studies. So we're kicking off this Wednesday. Come join us. You can come just sit at tables with the kids at the mealtime. That's a great interaction, intergenerational as well. But you look at the end of the sermon notes, it says this: as we think about being the family of God and growing in this Word of God together as a family, we get to experience the Word of God in two really awesome ways, especially as Lutheran Christians. And we're going to get to experience this first one right here today. We get to experience the Word of God sacramentally, that we understand that God comes to us through the Word and in the Word, first at baptism, but then here with this bread and with this wine, to experience the sacraments of God. Really, from beginning of our life, from birth to burial, the Word of God is a part of our life, and sacramentally too. But also, a great Word of God for us about the Word of God is John 1:14. It says, "The Word, Jesus Christ, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." We get to experience the Word of God incarnationally in the flesh because Jesus came to be that Word dwelling among us. But as we're growing in the Word together, we're also celebrating that He is the Word of God growing in us. Amen. Amen. May that peace of God that really does pass our human understanding, may it guard, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, the Word who became flesh.